We'll go live. I'll let you know when we're good. All right, Sheikh, you're ready to start whenever you want to.
Awesome. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, all of you guys are doing well. We're here on our fifth session of Get Caffeinated, MYG, Muslim Youth Group of ISOC. Alhamdulillah, we're here for tonight, our fifth session. The last night of this beautiful month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, we didn't clock out, you know, we didn't check out. We're still here, we're still going strong until that, you know, till the final bell rings, if you will, of this great month of Ramadan. And we're trying to reap in as much barakat, so much hasanat, much blessings and reward as we can, alhamdulillah. Hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, you've been enjoying these sessions here, going over Surah Kahf, chapter number 18 in the Quran, getting caffeinated, and have learned a lot, inshallah ta'ala. And hopefully, more importantly, we're implementing some of these great lessons from this surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down for us for our guidance into our own lives, inshallah ta'ala. And that is the main reason why we're going over these sessions and trying to highlight some of the points of it. And so tonight, like I said, there's four main stories that Surah Kahf is contains, if you will. Okay, I could argue that there's actually more than four stories, but there's four main ones. And so the first one is a story of the young individuals, the companions of the cave, and that is where the name of the surah comes from, Kahf, meaning cave. And then we have the story of the man of the two gardens, who just has a bunch of wealth, and he's just bragging and boasting. And he thinks all from his own hands and all what he has done. And we know that he lost everything and disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third story is of Musa alayhi salam and a person named Khidr. And we said the majority opinion is that Khidr is actually a prophet, just like Musa alayhi salam. And they go on a journey and they learn a lot of interesting things there. And the last story that we went over was last Friday, and that is of a righteous leader, and that is Dhul-Qarnayn, who went from the east and to the west, or the west and to the east, and he had to deal with people called Gog and Magog. Well, he really didn't deal with them, but he helped a community block them out that was harassing them and corrupting the land. So these are the four stories, right? So the Companions of the Cave is a lesson of, we say, the fitna, or the trial of religion, of your deen, that things will come and challenge your belief system, right? Everyone else might be Christian around you, or might be atheist, or might be doing this and celebrating that. And you might be the only Muslim in your school, but you stay strong. So there might be tests that come in our religion. Number two, tests that come for wealth, especially us as Muslims here in the West and the United States, that alhamdulillah, we have a lot of wealth. We're very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. So that wealth, we have to make sure that we attribute it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's the one that has given all our wealth, and it's not from our own, our own efforts, and we brag about that this, we got this and we got that. The third one is a lesson of knowledge, of Musa and Khidr, that sometimes when you have so much knowledge, you start thinking you're better than everyone. You think you know a lot more. You think you're at a higher status of everyone else, and you kind of look down upon them. So knowledge sometimes could be a trial for us. And especially when you think you have it all planned up here and something goes wrong in your life, right? A car accident, someone gets sick, someone dies close to you, and you thought you had it all figured here. And then you're like, why would God do something like this? Why would this evil happen, right? And that's where you have to check yourself, right? You have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's controlling everything. We could barely control, you know, simple things on our computer, right? Subhanallah. Imagine controlling the whole world. Imagine how much knobs and things you have to control. That is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows why things happen. So make sure our knowledge gets us past into disbelief or doubting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the last thing we said is the trial of leadership, of power, of authority. When you're in that place of authority, sometimes people turn into tyrants. People start doing things on what they feel like is right. They're not taking opinion from anyone else anymore and causing corruption in the land. and that is the story of Dhul Qarnayn. So alhamdulillah, these are the four main stories. What I wanted to do tonight is actually highlight a couple other ayat or verses in the Quran, and then I will get some opinion of some of our panelists. Alhamdulillah, they've been here every week. We have Sister Nazneen, Sister Iqra, Sister Maha, Brother Ibrahim, Brother Salim, Maju. I don't think anyone else is here for tonight. That alhamdulillah, that's been here and they've been giving us some of their feedback and some of their points that they took from these sessions here. So I'm going to be passing on to them very soon. But before I do that, I want to say around 11 o'clock, I'm going to shoot for 11 o'clock, inshallah ta'ala, that we will have a quiz, a fun little quiz game. And that's going to be done by the online platform called Kahoots. Kahoots, that's K-A-H-O-O-T, okay? And that's called kahoot.com. There's no S on it, but it's called kahoot.com. You could go to your Play Store or your Apple Store if you are have an iPhone user, and you could download the app, and you're going to need that around 11 o'clock to play the trivia game with us, inshallah ta'ala. Your name will pop up on the screen. It'll be kind of cool. You can actually see yourself. Not yourself, but it's your name and the points you earn as you try to answer some of the questions, inshallah ta'ala. And or you don't have to download the app. You could actually go to kahoot.com, and then you could just put in the game code, which I will be presenting pretty soon when I share my screen. And then you could also play in that that mode also. So once again, to let you get a little head start, if you want to download the app as we're trucking along here, or if you want to just get the website up and running on your computer or on your phone, so it's easy to switch over as when we get to that 11 o'clock hour, inshallah ta'ala. So I wanted to move on to some of the panelists here, right? So alhamdulillah, some are our MYG Muslim Youth Group board here. I wanted to ask them the obvious question, like they have been here for these last four sessions, and what are some of the main lessons that maybe struck them? You know, some point that was made that maybe they benefited from or they took that from the stories we went over, that impacted their life, or at least, you know, got them to say, hey, that's, you know, I never thought about that, if you will. So I wanted to just give the floor open to any one of them. If any one of you guys want to chime in and kind of go over something that you benefit in, inshallah ta'ala, and that might be something those who are in the crowd out there in the virtual world maybe have also benefited. So anyone would like to go first here? Looking at your mics to see who would like to talk first.
Sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, salam. So we have Sister Nazneen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Good. Go ahead.
Okay, so I believe it was last week when the story you explained how when a youth is given power, like at times it could be for the bad, even though the stories you explained were all the ways that us Muslim youth have taken the roles of putting ourselves out there for the good, but, you know, some youth may have the wrong intentions, maybe for popularity, corruption, you know, different bad things.
Intentions, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so that was one that really stood out to me. I really enjoyed that conversation last week.
Good. No, that's good. I mean, that happens a lot, especially at those at your age, if you will, at high school, pre-college, maybe even, you know, middle school, if you will. It's because, you know, if you do get elected to a board, if that is on your, you know, your club at school, the debate team, the, I don't know what other clubs you guys have out there. Of course, sports, right? The team captain for this and that puts a big chip on your shoulder, and you start feeling that you're a little bit better than other people, and especially in a high school situation where it's all about, you know, your reputation. You know, this is so-and-so, I'm this, I'm that, this is my GPA, this is my class that I'm taking, yeah, I'm an AP, or you're not an AP, right, I'm an honors class, right, I'm on this sports team, I'm on that sports team, right, it's all about your image, right, everyone wants someone to be popular, and especially we know our public schools are mixed, obviously very, very mixed, even some of our Islamic schools are mixed, and so that's natural, that's how the world works, we're going to be mixed, and so there's always that, the shaitan's playing in the head to try to gain attention of the opposite gender. And that could really, really cast you left and right if you kind of make that your sole intention. Because when that doesn't come and you don't get attention from the opposite gender, you know, it could be very sad times, especially in a high school life, that someone is not looking at you or giving you that attention. So that's something you have to definitely have to deal with. How about someone else? Would anyone else on the panel like to share something that they, from the stories that they went over that they, you know, struck or benefited from?
I can go, Shay.
Okay, Brother Ibrahim, go ahead.
I think this was 2 weeks ago when you gave the story about the two friends and how one of them was had a whole bunch of wealth given to them, and the other one didn't. And basically, like, the moral of the story that I took out of it is that you can't always depend on, like, money and wealth, because that could be taken away within a snap of a finger, essentially. And you just have to have trust in Allah. And if you have trust in Allah, He will give you the money. And if He wants to take it away from you, He will take it away from you whenever He wants to.
Definitely, right? And that's something that you guys go, you start getting your, obviously, I know you're working, and may others might still be in high school. They might not understand that point yet, but that's definitely something. And maybe we see it with your parents, they might see it with your family members, that comes and goes. And if you don't attribute and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala back for that wealth that you got, right? Even though you might not have made it, but you live in that nice house, you know, in Garden Grove, in Irvine, in Anaheim, right? In Huntington Beach, that you have to make sure that even though it's your dad or mom that has it, be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Attribute that back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that alhamdulillah, you have that car, your family car that you guys have, and or else it could be taken away, as a garden was taken away from this man. That's one thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Ibrahim, where He says, "In shakartum la azidannakum." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you are thankful to me, in shakartum, yani you make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will increase you. What's really beautiful about this ayah, Allah just says the word he will just increase you, but He doesn't tell you what He's going to increase you in. It doesn't say in long life, it doesn't say in wealth, it doesn't say in property, He just leaves it open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just increase you. Don't worry, it'll come from left and right. Don't worry, that's not a problem with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to restrict it to one thing, if you will. But the whole thing is about shukr, 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 shukr. That's why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah wrote a book called Shukr wa Sabr, or Sabr wa Shukr, yani, that patience and thankfulness. He said pretty much that Iman and our belief is pretty much in these two branches. It's all about patience and it's all about thankfulness. You're either in one state, right? And so that's pretty much how life is. You're always thanking Allah, or if you're going through tough times, you're having patience with what's going on. And then after that trial is done, you're back to thanking Allah for saving you from that trial. And so it's a balance between those two. So that's something very interesting that he wrote. It's a small book, actually. You can find it on Amazon or so. Patience and thankfulness. Put Ibn Qayyim in there and you'll be able to pull that out. Anyone else? Last, I'll see one more if anyone wants to chime in. Who's left? We have Brother Salem or Sister Ikra or Sister Maha. Do my countdown here. 3, 2, 1. Alhamdulillah. I think they'll probably chime in later on. No problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you guys for those points there. So what I want to do is kind of go over some other verses, like I mentioned, that's mentioned in Surah Kahf. So what I want to start off is the first verse of the surah. The first verse of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'alahu iwaja. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all praises due to Allah. Allah praises Himself, right? Allah's trying to teach us how to praise Him. So all praises to Allah. He's trying to tell us what we should praise Him for. For what? What do we have to praise You for, Ya Rab? He says, that has sent down upon His servant, ala abdihi, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? His book, al-kitab. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْهُ عِوَجَ. And the book has no عِوَجَ in it. No crookedness in it. No things that it says this one time and someone's saying this. It's kind of misleading. God's one time, and then God is three, and then this person, and then that, and it's hard to figure out. No, the Quran is not like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has sent down this book for us, my dear brothers and sisters, that doesn't have iwaja, yani qayyiman, that it is straightforward. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about our deen, is that when I ask, if you ask any Muslim, who is Allah? It's like, we just put up one finger. Allah is one. Just worship Allah. That's it. No, is it like, is He part man? Is He part statue? Is He half elephant and half human? And it's this one and that one, and this one controls power, this one controls death, this control, you know, this life. No. Allah is this one. That's it. It's very simple. You don't need a math equation. You don't need a formula. And for all those youth out there, this is the deen that you belong to. Islam makes so much sense, Annie. that it's so simple. It's so easy to worship. It's not a formula. You don't have to be taught this, right? If you look at other religions, well, I'll do respect, especially to Christianity, when we talk about the Trinity, and Allah brings up the Trinity in a couple of verses here in Surah Kahf, that that when you look, when you hear, when you see, when you learn something about that, that God is one, and they know there's the Father, there's Jesus, the Son, and then you have the Holy Spirit, and they're three is one, and one is three. No one's born like that. No one's born like, yeah, three is one, one is three. That's not math. They don't really work that way, right? You have to be taught that. You have to be trained that. But Allah is one, one is one. Little kids know that, right? I have my little son here. I tell him about Allah. Allah created this. He doesn't say like, oh, is Allah five or seven? It's just natural to believe that. And this is the deen that we have. And look what Allah says. He has this great book, the Quran. Alhamdulillah, that's one other thing that we should be proud about, my dear brothers and sisters, that you have this scripture that has not been changed since day one, right? There's no other versions of the Quran. There's not an updated version. This sect has this version. In Indonesia, they read this version. It has three chapters less than the one that we read, etc., whatever. You can even say Sunnah, Shia, they're all, this is the same Quran. No surahs are different, right? There's no extra chapters. It's amazing. 1400 plus years now that our deen has been preserved. And Allah says that in the Quran, that he has sent down this book and he is hafilun, that he will, what? They will, he would preserve it and protect it. And this is the religion that you're part on. You're part on. And so, you're part in, if you will. And so here is that when you're at school and there's no other Muslims around, right? You might say, oh, look at these people reaching, worshiping this and worshiping that. That subhanAllah, your deen is so pure and you have a great book. You have this Quran. It doesn't have no iwaja in it. It is straightforward and plain with no discrepancies and no different versions of it. And I think that's beautiful, especially as young individuals, when we take pride in our religion and who we are as Muslims, that is something you could just tell anybody and they won't have nothing to say back to, right? And that's something that you should also share with your friends about, or whoever else you have about this, your Quran. Give them a copy, take it from the masjid, come into the main office there, right? We'll hook you up with one. And that what? You can share it out to others. And this is the greatest miracle that we have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that. And then, just like how I kind of mentioned about Christianity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 4, it says, وَيُنذِرُ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this book has come down to warn the people who said that Allah has taken a son. Like, astaghfirullah, like Allah has taken a son. What does that even mean? And a lot of times I go to Christianity, with Christians, all due respect to them and their belief, but you go up to them and you ask them a very simple question. What do you mean by Jesus is the son of God? What I know what a son is, that means you have a mom, you have a dad, they have a baby. You said, oh, this little baby, that's the son of these two individuals. That's how we know what son is. What do you mean when you say Jesus is the son of God? Is there that God has a wife or some like stuff? What does that mean? No, it doesn't mean that. Okay, so you put your whole belief in this, right? You believe in this, you preach it all day and night, but could you even explain what you believe in? And you'll see some very interesting answers they'll give you, right? That no, it means this, it means that. Well, not actually a son, you know, kind of like a part of, what do you, if you can't explain it yourself, why do you believe in it? Right? Just worship one God and just pray to him. It's very interesting that this whole coronavirus thing has happened, a month ago or so. One thing very strong, but that's very important to the Catholic sect of Christianity is that they have a thing called confession, where they go to their priest and they will admit that they did a certain sin, and that priest could try to help them with that, or maybe try to forgive them or do some type of process, if you will, of when they make their confessions. And so since the churches were obviously closed down because of the situation, they had, I think the Pope had a statement that you can now go straight to God and ask him for forgiveness and speak to him. I was like, hold on, did he understand what he just said? Like, that's how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to go straight to God. You're not supposed to go to anyone else, right? That's how you're supposed to be. Alhamdulillah, that is Islam. It's simple, right? It sounds funny that you're even saying that. And that's the religion, alhamdulillah, that we are part of, my dear brothers and sisters. You should be very proud that you're Muslim. Not arrogant, not like the guy with the man with the two gardens, but you're proud that alhamdulillah, Allah has made us Muslims. We're humble, yani, but we don't think we're weird. We don't think we're strange. We just think we have an amazing gift and we need to give it to other people, right? They just don't know. right? We'll need to share it to them. If you have some good food, right? You guys like food. I know Dave's hot chicken and, you know, all the greasy stuff and this hamburger and that hamburger, right? And you have this, you know, really good food, you're going to tell other people about it. I know you guys. I see you guys in the chat room, right? You have to eat this. Go to this place. This place is open up. Oh, they have this hamburger. This place has ribs, right? Et cetera. So it's the same thing. When you taste something good, you're like, everybody, check out this place. It's the same thing with the Quran. This book is amazing. Look, there's no difference in it, right? You might not understand everything in it. That's fine. But you would want to share that out to everyone else, inshallah ta'ala. So that's something that's beautiful there. A last thing of that, that one thing that we also, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about, is that the Prophet, that he warns the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about saying the word insha'Allah. Allah subhanahu says, وَلَا تَكُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. Do not say that you're going to do something tomorrow, right? Except إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Except by saying that insha'Allah, that if Allah shah, if he wills, right, then it will happen. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that? Well, one thing I didn't mention in these last four sessions that we had is that Surah Kahf, why was it revealed? I think we went over this briefly, is that the Jews were telling the people in Mecca, the pagans, right, the Mushrikeen, telling the Quraysh tribe to know what, tell your prophet or tell this person, Muhammad, these questions. And if he answers them, he's probably a prophet. If he doesn't, then he doesn't know what he's talking about. And so I told him to ask him about three questions. One is the people of the cave. One is, what is a soul? That's not mentioned in Surah Kahf. It's actually mentioned in the Surah before that, in the Surah Isra. And what about Dhul Qarnayn? So they asked the Prophet, tell us about these three stories if you're a true prophet. And the Prophet says that I will ukhbirukum, I will tell you ghada, I'll tell you tomorrow. And then he didn't say, inshallah. And so what happened is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped revelation to him for about 25 days, right? And so what happened is that the Quraysh is like, look, see, you don't have the answer. You said you're a prophet, what happens? Yes, it's tomorrow, right? Tomorrow came and you don't know the answer. It's the next day, 1 week, 2 weeks, 25 days, almost a whole month. They're thinking about what? Yeah, you're not a real prophet. Look, your God's not even saying any revelations to him, to you. And then finally, after 25 days, then Surah Kahf comes down. And then he starts answering them. But here was a lesson for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He didn't make a sin. Yeah, he just didn't make a sin. He made a mistake. I'm forgetting to say inshallah. But how important it is to attribute anything that happened in the future back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why that's the same story of the individuals of the two gardens. Brother Ibrahim was just mentioned that if he had wealth, but he didn't say that this wealth was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from myself and how great I am. Look what my garden, look what I have, all the business I have. Right? That's what he's bragging and boasting. So Allah took it away from him. So just like the same thing here, the Prophet did forgot to mention inshallah. So one thing, my dear brothers and sisters, you guys should always make sure that's on your tongue. You know, and I think I gave you the story that I just felt so weird saying I'm going to do something tomorrow if I don't say inshallah. When I started working in a company, an engineering company, and so in emails, I would want to put inshallah. I'm like dying to write inshallah because I don't know if we're going to get the project done tomorrow, right? And I'm saying it quietly to myself, like, inshallah, we're going to get the project done tomorrow. The equipment should come in and it should be fine, right? And so I started using the word God willing, and that's something that obviously the English translation of it. And alhamdulillah, I put a lot of God willings in my emails. You know, I noticed some other people actually put in there. So I was chatting with a coworker actually like last week or 2 weeks ago, and I was just going really fast and whatever. And he asked me, can I do something? I'm like, yeah, inshallah, I'll get it done. And then he replied, he's like, okay, inshallah. And I looked, I was like, oh shoot, did I write inshallah to him? And I looked, I was like, oh man. I was like, oh yeah, inshallah means, God willing. He's like, yeah, I know. He knew some Muslims. So he's like, I know exactly what that means. And that's cool. He actually appreciated it, right? So it comes out, and that's actually a good thing. It comes out. So we have to make sure, especially as youth, we like to say a lot of things. I'm going to study tomorrow and, you know, I have an exam I need to take. Say, inshallah, I'll have this. I'm going to study tomorrow. Inshallah, I get a good grade, right? Inshallah, I will clean my room. I sound like your mom now, right? Inshallah, I'm going to do this. Inshallah, I'm going to do that. So make sure that's on there. You say, inshallah, fast enough, it starts sounding like. enchiladas, right? But anyhow, that's nothing to do with anything. But anyhow, there's some really bad joke about enchiladas. But anyhow, and inshallah. Anyhow, so that's one thing that we should, inshallah, say, inshallah, and as much as possible. And there's no problem in doing that, obviously. And that's great that we're remembering Allah as we talk. And that's exactly what Allah wants us to do, is to remember Him. So that is what I'm going to stop there. I had some other verses that I wanted to go over, but I'm going to stop there. I think we're, inshallah, 11 o'clock is coming up right now. So I want to give enough time that we can set up the game and get everyone up and running for a, the game is actually a nice review of the surah. So I'm just going, it's not going to just be a fun game and questions. Each question, I'm going to try to go over it and what the answer is and why is that important. So before we do that, once again, I want to throw it back to our panelists here. They've been so patiently waiting. If they wanted to add any things, maybe they thought of a lesson as I was going through. So I'll give a chance to Brother Salim or the Mukhlis sisters there, Sister Ahlam that's here also. If you guys wanted to chime in, and also I can ask you, you know what, if you don't want to mention a lesson that we learned from this, from these sessions, but maybe you had advice, you know, being part of the youth group here at Garden Grove Masjid or ISOC, right, or Masjid Rahman, we have so many names for our center. Did you have some advice for some of the youth that were ending Ramadan and some of the, from these sessions and from these surah, from the surah that we covered, that you just wanted to make a general advice to them? Right, these are our brothers in Islam, alhamdulillah. Right, we all care for each other and we'll love to see you guys at the masjid whenever we return back. So I'll give some time there. I don't know if any of you guys have any general anything you would like to say to youth. I'll open up the floor back to Brother Ibrahim and Sister Nazneen if you want to also mention something.
I'd like to say something. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum salam.
Just a general advice for, especially coming, Ramadan coming to an end, and after that, we're just going to go back to our normal lives. But that's the point. Like, the point is to not go back to those bad habits, to keep up those bad habits. I mean, those good habits that you've been doing, like, such as reading the Quran every day, maybe not like as much, but like at least one page every day is still something.
Definitely. Yes, that's one thing that scholars said, that we will not be able to keep yourself up, you know, as you were doing in Ramadan. Some scholars said, you know, the angels will come down and shake your hand if you're able to do that fast 30 days and extra prayers at night and reading Quran, like if you can, mashallah, Allahu Akbar. But one thing is that you don't drop, you know, down the ground. And one thing that, you know, one brother was mentioned the other day is that we really see it on the day of Eid. You know, people just forget Fajr, people just miss Fajr, right? And then alhamdulillah, you have Eid prayer, people come out, mashallah. But after that, there's so much eating and partying afterward, which is good. Alhamdulillah, we want to see our friends, we want to see our family. But then, like, do you stop for Dhuhr, do you stop for Asr, do you stop for Maghrib, Aisha? It gets all mixed in there because you have fancy clothes on, and, you know, you don't want to make wudu, you don't want to mess up your makeup, right? All this kind of stuff, want to mess up your hair, your nice suit, and all these different things. And then what happens is that, you know what, subhanAllah, you were just praying all the time. Now you're just missing salah on the day after. That's why they say shaitan is celebrating on the day of Eid, because he's back on the scene. So anyhow, barakallahu feek, Sister Ahlam. That's it. I see Brother Hassan Elias is just logged on. So I'm going to quickly start the game before he has to mention anything. So anyhow, I'm going to, if you guys know how Kahoot works, once again, I'm going to put up, I'm sharing my screen, and it has the PIN number for Kahoot. And I'll give you guys a couple of minutes to add your name in there. And please, with all due respect, please put your name in there. Don't put a really funny nickname or definitely something that's derogative or something that, you know, I have to kick you out or something. Just be respectful, inshallah ta'ala. And then we can start our game. So inshallah, hopefully that works. mashallah. We have a lot of comedians in our youth group, subhanAllah. So I don't know if you guys could see that there. I'm hopefully you guys can. So if you can't, the Kahoot.
Yes, we can. We can, Shay.
Perfect. The Kahoot's number, if you're not able to see it, is 4270348. So if you put that in kahoots.com, or if you have the app, so we have, see, Brother Ibrahim, we have Iman, Ayan, we have Lami, Sister Ahlam, I know it's you. That's Sister Ikra with a lot of A's have just joined. Oh man, there we go. Sister Maha, Anyhow, Brother Hassan is there. We'll give you guys a couple more minutes here to see who else is out there. If you're out there on YouTube or Facebook, you could still, obviously, you don't have to be part of the Zoom call to join on. So I'll give you one more minute or so that inshallah ta'ala you guys can give some time to put it in there. And like I said, this will be a nice review for it, and also a little fun way as we're ending Ramadan. We won't see you guys on Eid, or maybe some of you know that there's a drive through Eid. We don't like to say drive-by because of a little negative connotation to it. But drive through Eid, as the masjid will be open on Sunday, on the day of Eid, from 11 to 2 o'clock. Drive through there, dress up, bring your children. You know, as you come in through the parking lot, there'll be a chance to take a nice picture with a background. There'll be sweets given to you, healthy donuts, or maybe, I don't know, maybe medium healthy donuts, and some other things, the goodie bags that are going to give them. But more importantly,
you know, donut, Sheikh?
And you would, more importantly, you'll see your fellow ISOC, you know, admin, people that are there at the masjid you end up seeing every day, volunteers. It's more seeing their faces, alhamdulillah, and getting out of your houses, right? You know, we're not meeting up for Eid, so it's a perfect time for you to come through, inshallah ta'ala. So that's good to know. Uncle Ibrahim's back at it with the uncle jokes. Okay. Good. So I'm going to start then. If we have, I'm going to give you guys, I want to do a little 10 second countdown here. Go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, inshallah ta'ala. If you didn't join in, I believe you still can while the game is going on. If you can't, then you at least try to answer at home and just yell at your screen loud enough. And I believe that we will not be able to hear you. But I think we had one last person that jumped in there. All right, we have Explorer, mashallah. That's where I was. Where did your mom and dad named you Explorer? But anyhow, let's go. So here we go. First question's coming up here. We have 19 questions for you guys, inshallah ta'ala. There it goes. If anyone learns by heart the first 10 verses of Surah Kahf, he will be protected from blank. This is actually a hadith that's in Sahih Muslim. So you could go ahead and you enter that in there, one of those choices there. And you could just pick the color. We have 5, 3, 2, 1. You have 20 seconds to answer each question. So there we go. So we have the Dajjal. Oh, only 3 people got it. SubhanAllah. Right? Who is the first? All right. We have Sister Ahlam is ahead of everyone right from the start. Here we go. Second question. These have to play some type of weird music in the back, but we don't have it here, which is probably better. Which one is not one of the stories from Surah Kahf? That should be an easy one. We kind of just went over that. Right. Which one is not one of the stories from Surah Kahf? Still waiting for 2 people to answer. One more person. The time has just run out. And that is Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers, right? Of course, the Qarnayn is part of it, and the people of the cave is definitely part of it. So anyhow, it's all good. Yusuf alayhi salam is talked about in the own surah in chapter number 12 on Surah Yusuf. So anyhow, Sister Ahlam has been dethroned, and Sister Nazneen has taken over the first place position. Sisters are mashallah, ahead of the brothers, which is usually the case in these type of games. One thing I didn't want to mention is that that those first 10 verses, you memorize it, it will be a protection from the Dajjal. And we know Dajjal is the Antichrist that will come at the end of the world, or the end of the times. And so that's definitely some of a big bonus. We all should try to do
Sheikh, that. Do you see the highest climber?
The highest climber? No, where is that?
You see the lowest climber?
Oh, Sister Ikra is the highest climber. There you go. She really wanted us to mention her name at the bottom there, if you didn't see it on the screen. So mashallah, she's climbing very high these days. That's good. I'm glad you're keeping yourself fit. Here we go. So the third question here, what did the youth say while standing in front of the king of the town? This is actually from the verse of the Quran. What did the youth say when they're standing in front of the king of the town? Did they say Allah only has power over all things? Never will we invoke besides him Allah any deity. Your Lord will spread out for you his mercy. Donate to the power of 2020 or else. Nobody thought donate to the power of 2020. I know that you guys really need to help. Are we at 1,000 yet for the power of 2020 yet?
We're at 800 and something. I'm not sure what the final total is.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. SubhanAllah. So Sister Alam says she's going to be able to see the screen. Hopefully you work. If Sister Alam can't see the screen and she's winning, that's interesting. So Sister Nazneen, she has been dethroned now. So she gives a crown back to Sister Ahlam, who is on fire. And yeah, Sister Ikra, you're not there anymore. As I wanted to just let you know that you're not one of the highest climbers and you're not even on the board here. Just want to make sure if that wasn't clear. But when you come back, we'll mention it, inshallah ta'ala. Question number four. I don't see Sister Maha either. So the Mukhlis sisters are really struggling. Why did the youth have to retreat to the cave? Was it because they wanted to go camping? I never know. To escape the punishment upon their city, as Allah was going to punish their city? To meet a prophet, to be guided? Or escape the king's order to worship idols? Oh, no one got it. To escape the king's order to worship idols is a correct answer. No, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention that any punishment came upon their city, as it was mentioned to other stories. So, wow, guys. Yeah, no, that's not a trick question. That's just, I don't know. Subhanallah. You guys are fatigued. That's called our fatigue, Ramadan fatigueness right there. Nobody moves anywhere. So that means that Sister Ikra or Sister Ma still are not present on their leaderboard, or nor are they the climbers anymore. She's not climbing. She must have slipped down. Hopefully she's all right. What lesson can we learn from the youth of the cave? Allahu Akbar. Standing up for your beliefs, even if the majority believes otherwise. Too much wealth corrupts the heart. Caves are very hard to sleep in. Hint, hint, hint. Respect for parents. Once again, caves are very hard to sleep in. Hint, hint, hint. And I'm winking my eye. We got one person for slaves. Our caves are very hard to sleep in. Yeah, standing up for your belief, even if the majority believes otherwise. When I'm blinking my eye, that means that's not the answer. But anyhow, some people have different signs. That's my sign I go with. So, alhamdulillah, what do we have now? Sister Ahlam is still there. Salam has moved into the up on the leaderboard there. But once again, guys, once again, still no Sister Ikra or Sister Maha. Just wanted to make sure. Are they all? All right. Behind Salam. Let's go. Question number six. Surah Kaf is which surah number in the Quran? Don't Google it, guys. Don't Google it. I know what you're thinking. Don't open your Quran right now. Just ask Allah to help you. Ask Allah to guide you to that answer, right? Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't put your trust into Google, okay? Number 18 is correct. Very good. Surah number 18 in the Quran. 19 is Surah Maryam. Surah 15 is Hijr. And Surah 17, nobody did it anyhow. So good, guys. Sister Ahlam is still in Sister Nazneen. Well, you guys didn't. I guess everyone's so far away, though. MashaAllah. Yeah, pretty good, guys. Here we go. Let's go on to the next question here. You got caffeinated this Ramadan? True or false? True or false? Just a little hint. You cannot pick both answers. You cannot pick true and false. You have to pick one. That's a hint for if you guys wanted some help on this question. So once again, true or false? You got caffeinated. Oh, one person didn't get caffeinated. Astaghfirullah azim. Please go down to your kitchen and get your percolator going. And hopefully you can get caffeinated, inshallah, before the session's over. So Salam, Allahu Akbar, is moving up. He's an IT specialist. I don't know if he knows any ways to hack the game, but okay, alhamdulillah, he's in third place there. Here we go again, guys. The man with the vast amount of wealth, gardens, was boasting to his... So the man, and then the story went over of the two gardens, right? He had a bunch of wealth. He was boasting to his who? Who was the other person that he was boasting to? His brother and his business partner. That's true. That was two opinions on that. And so both of them are correct. So which one of you picked, you got that answer, right? It wasn't his neighbor. You might think that might be his neighbor. Jeff Bezos. You know, you might think that, you know, he wants to catch up to Jeff, but no, he didn't care about Jeff, you know. Jeff's got a lot of money though. Alhamdulillah. Anyhow, Salem is on fire. Allahu Akbar. That's not a Jahannam fire. That's not a positive halal fire. So he is going to come close to dethroning Sister Ahlam pretty soon. Sister Nazneen has took a back seat in third place. Wow. And still, no Ikra and no Sister Maha. The vast amount of wealth made the owner of the two gardens think that what? Allah loves him. He should donate some of his money. His wealth will never perish. Or he wants a third garden. This is taken from the verses of the surah itself. You guys remember what he said? Exactly right. That he said that, no, I don't believe my garden will ever go away. And then after he said, I don't believe the day of judgment will ever take place. Right? This is how wealth corrupts a heart. Where you think that your wealth is always going to be there. And like, I'm fine. It's okay. Never going to go away. And you think you're setting nice. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really checks somebody. So very good. Good job, y'all, on that one there. The majority of the people got it right. Ooh, stalemate. Everyone's there. No one moved up. Maha has, okay, again, there you go, Sister Maha. Just don't call it a comeback, guys. She got three in a row now. Now, question number 10. How did his friend, the believer, advise him? Right? What did he tell him? What was the first thing that he told him after when he was trying to advise him? Your wealth can buy you true happiness. Do you disbelieve in the one who created you from dust? You should pray and give sadaqah. Come to the MYG events on Friday. We have free food. We have one person, mashallah, that thought that that's exactly what the verse in the Quran said. Come to the MYG events on Friday, right? Ati ila, you know, barnamaj at MYG fil yamul juma. No, Allah didn't say that. Allah didn't say that, guys. But that's good. I'm glad you have that good thinking of the MYG events. May Allah bless you. But it's actually that he said that Allah created you for dust. Look what he said. Why did he say that for? He's trying to tell him, like, look, you're human. You're dust. You're nothing. You're this simple. You're just like everyone else, right? Don't be so haughty. Don't be so arrogant. And that's what he's trying to do. And that's the first thing he tells him as this man was way up here thinking that I'm so great. I have so much money. So what do we have here? Oh, Sister Nazneen has just thrown for the sun. Sister Ahlam is just cruising. No one can catch her. SubhanAllah, she's off in the front, just going. Okay. Ma has four in the row now. That's good. That's good. MashaAllah. What did the believer tell him to say when entering his garden? Let's go back to this story, right? What did he tell him? Was it MashaAllah, la hawla wa la illa billah? You should say Alhamdulillah. You say more money, more problems. Or Allahu Akbar. What do you think he told him to say? Yes, mashallah, la hawla wa la illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah wa la hawla illa billah. Right? Mashallah means Allah has ordained it. Allah has willed this for you. That's what you say. Allah has willed this, alhamdulillah, this wealth for me. Well, not for me. Allah has willed it for me. Right? And there's no power except from Allah. Allah has the power, not me, to build this. That's pretty much what he should have said, but he didn't say that. Good stuff, guys. Oh, Allahu Akbar. Sister Ahlam has took off the crown, handed it over to Sister Nazneen. Hamza Bai is moving up in this world. Nazneen has five in a row. Allahu Akbar. Right? Oh, the Mukhlis sisters. Allahu Akbar. Man, we have to work on you guys. We have to get like some tutoring sessions. No, for you guys. We got love for you guys. We got love. We're trying to help you out. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send Musa alayhi salam to meet Khidr? To get away from the children of Israel? Because there was causing so much a problem for Musa alayhi salam. To receive the Torah, right? Part of the scripture. Right, because he was his long lost brother, wanted him to meet there. Or because he said that he was the most knowledgeable person. What do you think there? Oh, everybody got that. You guys really remember that story really well, right? And that was the reason why. Someone asked him, oh, Musa, who is the most knowledgeable person on the earth? He said, I am. But he didn't what? He didn't attribute his knowledge back to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that the theme of this surah? Oh, subhanallah. You have the man of the garden. This is my garden. It's never going to perish. You should have said, mashallah, Allah has willed it for you, right? The Prophet ﷺ forget to say, inshallah. An attribute that Allah will tell me, God willingly, tomorrow, and what the surah wasn't revealed to him until 25 days later. Same thing, Musa alayhi salam forgot to say what? Allah has given me this knowledge. Ah, guess what? Go and meet Khidr. He knows more than you. So anyhow, that's a great lesson for them. Who do we have here? Oh, Maha, Allahu Akbar. She's coming back. We thought, no, you guys put her down. You guys didn't have no belief in her. I believe in her, but no, and you guys thought that, no, she's just gone. Might as well just pack up the laptop and go home. But now she's in fourth place. Left Salim in the dust, right? Allahu Akbar. Here you go. Represent the mukhlises. Somebody has to represent the mukhlises there. Here you go. Who was a young boy that accompanied Musa alayhi salam on his trip? Okay, when Musa alayhi salam went, he said, I have to go learn from Khidr. And he took a young boy with him. Who was that boy? Was it Yusha alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, Ilyas alayhi salam, or youth from the cave? Going back to that first story, that one of the youth is the one that helped him. Oh, very good, Yusha, Joshua, right? Alayhi salam. He was going to obviously becomes a prophet later on. Very good. Not Hassan Elias, guys. This is Elias, the prophet. Hassan Elias and Prophet Elias is two different, two extremes. Yeah, two extremes. But alhamdulillah is Yusha, alayhi salam. Very good, alhamdulillah. Good job, guys. Woo, Allahu Akbar, Sister Maha. She was sleeping on y'all. You know what I mean? She's a track president, captain, Khalifa or something like this at her school. So, you know, she was like waiting back and now she's like turning it up now and she's going to win the race. That's the skills that she learned. SubhanAllah, let everyone go ahead and then at the end, boom, first place. So Sister Nazneen and Sister Ahlam look in their rearview mirror now. She's coming up from the back there. So here we go. We have five more questions left, guys. What happened to their fish that they were carrying? Remember there was a fish in their basket. What happened to that fish there? It spoke to them, asked where Nemo and Dory are, came alive and jumped into the sea, given the Khidr as a gift so that he would relate the knowledge to him. What did you guys think? Nemo. No one thought it was Nemo and Dory? Are you serious? This is a youth group. This is what you guys are about. Okay, so yeah, exactly. It came out from the basket. It jumped in the sea. And like I mentioned in some of the Tafsir books, it made like wherever it swam, it made like a tunnel. And the water just stayed that way. So when Musa alayhi salam saw that, he's like, whoa. And so he walked in the water, right? It just like a tunnel. There was no water. It was just dry ground. And he walked until he got to the island where Khidr was at. That's very interesting. We know that Musa alayhi salam, you know, when he parted the sea opened for him. It's almost like it happened twice to him in his lifetime. That's beautiful. That's interesting. I know we're going over 11:15. But we're having a great time here, guys. We're having a great time. Some people are really thinking about that Dory and Nemo. Oh, Maha didn't get no ground there. But Salim. Oh, Ikra. Is that Ikra? Is that really her? Maybe another person named Ikra then. I don't think that's the same Ikra. But there's another sister Ikra that's coming up, mashallah. That's on the fifth place now. So there you go. Lammy is there. Lammy whammy. Here we go. Question number 15. Why did Khidr make a hole in the boat? So the owners would not return from where they came from. He was trying to prevent them from coming back to that same place. There was a tyrant king coming to confiscate everyone's boat to make it sink, right? Something you want to punish the people. So the owners would ask them for help. So maybe they'll get paid. You know, thing is that. What did you guys think there? Good, yes, that there was a tyrant leader that was coming back. He knew that, right? But Musa alayhi salam sitting there saying, why are you making a hole in the poor people's boat for? Ah, right? So sometimes things happen to us, my dear brothers and sisters. We don't know. Is there for a good reason? They got to save their boat because when the tyrant king came, he said, I don't want this boat. It has a hole in it. All right, give me your boat. Take someone else's boat. Take this person's boat. And these poor individuals, the masakin, they got to keep their boat and they'll fix, you know, they'll fix that hole, right, with that flex seal. And a flex seal, you know, you spray it. It's like a rubber seal. SubhanAllah, that thing is amazing. I need to get some of that for myself. But anyhow, Sister Nazneen, I'm so sorry. Just give up that crown. Sister Ahlam wanted it back. But Sister Maha is still waiting there. She hasn't made a move yet. And we have the other sister, Sister Ikra, at the end there. Salam is still hanging around. Where's the brothers at? Where's the brothers? Not, are they sleeping? Are they playing? Or where are they at? Metaphorically. It's a big word for you guys. I know. Metaphorically, What does Khidr represent in our lives? Okay. Does he represent bad friends? If you guys know the story very much, does he represent bad friends? Does he represent the trial of wealth? Does he represent events and tests that will happen in our lives, which we cannot figure out? Or represent weak faith? Good, Allahu Akbar, very good, right? Because the whole thing about Khidr is amazing. He's doing things that Musa alayhi salam can't figure out. Why are you doing that for? It doesn't make any sense, right? This is wrong. That's wrong. This is terrible, right? And that's it. That's like the trials in our life that happen to us. We're like, oh, why did this happen? Oh, why did that happen? We're getting frustrated, right? And that's true. We get frustrated when bad things happen to us. But that's just not what's going to happen. We have to have that iman. We have to have that faith, if you will. Let's go on to the next question coming up here. Ooh, all you guys got to say. Everyone kind of stand still here. Sister Maha has answered 10 questions in a row. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And we're on like question 16. That probably means that she got the first six wrong, but that means that she got the first 10, or, you know, out of the last 10, right? Right? What have you done for me lately? So that's good, mashallah. Question number 17. Metaphorically, you guys know this word now. From the story, what does Musa alayhi salam represent in our lives? Our sadaqah, respecting elders, our du'as, our patience, and believing Allah through struggles. Knowing that story very well, what would you say metaphorically that he represents in our lives? It's one of the points that we went over in our lesson. Very good. Allahu, everyone got it. Stand still there. That what? It's our patience we're going to have. We're going to see little crazy things in our life. Coronavirus. Why does that happen? Why can't we go to our masjid for? Why would Allah want this to happen? Have sabr. There's a good intel in that, right? And just keep believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we want there. So I think, Allahu Akbar. You guys all got it right. So I guess Sister Maha answered it faster because she's in track. And Sister Nazneen is now in third place. Allahu Akbar. That's why you guys should have been on the track team, but I don't want to say like I told you so. But I told you so. So anyhow, Sister Ahlam is out in the front though. I don't know, Sister Maha, if you could catch her. I don't know what you think. But I don't know. Let's see. You have two questions left. Two questions left. You have to answer immediately. Why was he called Dhul Qarnayn? He had two plaits of braids in his hair. He had two horns. That was his real name. Or controlled the east and the west? You have to answer quick. You only two questions left. Sister Ahlam is out in the front running. How to catch her? Because he controlled, yes. It's answer number, there's no number there, but letter or shape triangle and shape square, if you will, right? That is, some scholars said, yeah, he had two braids in his head. And also, he controlled the east and the west. It's probably more likely, if you will. No, he didn't have two horns. He was a human being. He wasn't a half ram or half goat and a human being. Some might say that he had a helmet with two horns on it. If you guys maybe thought that was what I meant by that. But anyhow, I did not. So anyhow. Oh, Salem. How's this working? How does Salem just jump like 10 spaces? He's got 7 in a row. Last question right now. Salem is down. How much is that, guys? That's like around almost 700, right? 700 points. Maha, I'm sorry, Sister Maha. I don't know. Maybe you could still get it. I'm not too sure. Sister Ikra decided to relax a little bit here. Sister Nazneen was up there. Ibrahim came out of nowhere. He decided to start playing. MashaAllah, that's good. Last question. Who would be the champion of the first annual and the last annual, right? Surah Kaf, Kahoots, quiz questionnaire. It's going down right now, guys. Question number 19. Bismillah. When will Ya'juj, Ma'juj come out? After World War III. After the killing of the Dajjal. After the sun rises from the west. When the Gujus come out. Don't sleep on the last one, guys. Don't sleep on that last one right there. Really think about it. Really think about it. Yes, we had one person vote that when the Gujus come out from Gujarat. Yes. But no, it's after the killing of the Dajjal. We said that Isa alayhi salam will kill the Dajjal. And then what will happen after that? That Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come out from every single area. Isa alayhi salam will take the Muslims and say, let's get out of here. We have to, we won't be saved. They go up to the mountains, and then what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down insects that will either bite at their necks, and then they will all die and get killed off, and birds will take away their body. And after that, that will be a blessed time. So who is the champion of all the super champions? I have a feeling Sister Ahlam is the one here. Here's the podium, guys. Bismillah. Third place, Sister Maha. Okay, she still got a medal, though. She comes home with the medal. Salem and Sister Ikra? No, Sister Lammy. Sister Ahlam, Allahu Akbar. Runners-up is Ibrahim and Sister Nazneen. Oh, Sister Nazneen was cruising up in the first and second. It's like the Olympics watching, you know, that long relay race, right? MashaAllah, may Allah bless all you guys. I hope you guys had a good time here with this Cahoots thing and with the game. More importantly, we had a little bit fun tonight doing the quiz thing, threw a little jokes out there. But in overall, you guys all did really well. I have respect for all of my youth, more board members. Give the Mukhlis sisters a little bit of a hard time, but I respect them very much and their family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you, Sister Ahlam. You did a great job. We got to get a gift for you. I don't know what we're going to give you. You're the ones that get the gifts from the masjid because you are the secretary.
I have the $10 gift card. I can send it over.
Allahu Akbar. $10 gift card to where? Is it Amazon?
Of course. Where else would it be?
Jeff Bezos will appreciate that. MashaAllah, he will appreciate that. So anyhow, I had a great time on these five sessions here going over Surah Kahf. More importantly, we just did this whole five session here in the month of Ramadan, spending a lot of time with each other. It'll all go down to vain if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept this from us, is not pleased with us that we're studying His Quran and going over these lessons that He sent down for us to ponder on and to implement in our life and not be like these people that had issues in some of the stories, like the man of the two gardens, right? And then of the great lessons that we learned of those of the youth that stood up for their deen, that we have a perfect Quran. We are Muslims, right? We don't have a book that has a Bible, for example, has so many different versions, with all due respect. 70, 100, 150, even more different versions of the Bible. Alhamdulillah, one Quran. That's it, everybody. Perfect in nature, God's words, not someone else's words, God's words, right? That is amazing, honestly. And alhamdulillah, this is the deen that we are a part of. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Rabbil Alameen, to send your peace and blessings on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to bless our youth group, our NYG, and those who attended these sessions. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us and bless us and accept our fasting, our recitation of the Quran. This Surah Kahf session that we were doing, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim, we ask you to help us to see this on our scales of good deeds on Yawm Al-Qiyamah and be a proof for us and not a proof against us. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us implement these lessons that we just learned from this beautiful surah that you have given us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Give us the tawfiq, give us the ability and the bliss to able to implement it in our life, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless us on the day of Eid, make it a happy occasion for us. Bless our brothers and sisters throughout the world that are struggling. Help us and help us protect us from the coronavirus and other ailments that has been sent down, Ya Kareem, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifoon. Wa Salaamu Ala Mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Once again, it's your brother Shahid Ali. I had a great time with you guys. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. Hey. Signing off. Salaamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi Barakatuh. Brother Ibrahim has one thing to mention.
I do. I have to share a video from our chairman real quick, if you don't mind. Just give me...
This is a mandate that he has to follow. So here is a video from Brother Hassan Abu Bati, I believe, our chairman of the masjid.
Give me 1 second. Sorry. I got to get the right chair.
Hold on there, guys.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In light of recent news, some of you might be wondering if ISOC will be open for Eid prayer this weekend. I would like to reiterate Dr. Muzammil Siddiqui's message from earlier today. ISOC will continue to follow state guidelines when it comes to the reopening of public spaces, and religious institutions. So for now, ISOC will remain closed. As for Eid celebration, please follow the schedule that we published on our website, eid.isocmasjid.org. Get up in the morning, pray your Fajr prayer, enjoy the time with your family, and then tune in at 9:15 for a special message from Dr. Siddiqui. After that, from 11 to 2, we are having a drive-through Eid celebration at ISOC. We're asking everybody to stay in their car while driving through the campus. You'll receive a box of donuts, some goodie bags for the children, while always remaining in your car. We also have a professional photographer that will take you a picture with ISOC in the backdrop, all while staying in your car. So I ask you to go to eid.isocmasjid.org to RSVP and let us know that you are coming. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was it, Sheikh. Inshallah. Thank you so much again for doing this class for us for the past 5 weeks. We definitely enjoyed it and learned a lot from it. Inshallah, we'll see everyone virtually on Eid.
Take care.
Eid Mubarak, everyone. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, Slav.